This recording is part of the Big Read 2010, recorded at the Library Center on March 7th, 2010, by Ralph Walling. So, Mr. Walling, you're here today to share some memories with us.
I have a book full of them.
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I was born in 1922, July 9, which I'm 87 at the moment. My dad, our Walling family was taken out of England for religious purposes and went to Germany. My great-grandfather and the Mingus side of the family, my mother's side, go back to Saxony, Germany in the 1400s. So that's the start I had. My mother was a school teacher, and she went to Texas to teach, met my dad. They came back to Missouri, and then there was me. And so my mother passed away when she was in 1925, when I was 3 1/2. And her sister, my aunt, Lily Pyatt and Bill Pyatt, had no children. And that's where I spent my childhood until I was 21 years old. I was in the Navy, World War II. Started out up here at MSU to be a naval officer. And I was milking a bunch of cows at home, and I had taken up with dairying when I was in vocational ag at Hartville in high school. And so he was milking the cows while I was up here in school, and I'd milk in the weekend. He got sick, and I had to get out of that program. Mm-hmm. In World War II was going on, and in the spring of 44, I had a big year. I joined the Masonic Lodge in March, got married the 13th of May to Effie Lee Cody. And then, August 2nd, Uncle Sam's Navy took me. So I went to Great Lakes for boot camp. My hearing was good, and also a boy from Grand Rapids, Michigan. And we passed 100% on the Doppler test, and that sent us to Key West, Florida to learn sonar. And then I was assigned after school to a DE in Brooklyn, New York. There were 60 E's, escorted a small carrier, and we trained Navy and Marine pilots. And so we were in the Atlantic Ocean quite a bit, up and down the coast.
What kind of training did you do for them? What
sonar. So I was listening for the German submarines. This is World War II, out in the Atlantic. And so we were in Argentia, Newfoundland, among the icebergs up there, hunting submarines. They had bombed Hamburg, Germany, which was their submarine base. And those who got away came up over Scotland, England, headed toward South America, and they sent us out here to intercept them. Mm-hmm. But we were in Argentia when they signed the treaty with Germany. So then we came back down to the States, and they took the torpedo tubes off, which is what we would use to damage a submarine, mm-hmm. and put on millimeters, 40 millimeters on the bow, so we could shoot down Japanese suicide planes. Then we went through the Panama Canal, came up to San Diego, and we had to be out about a week, about 3 days or four behind the rest of the group going to Hawaii. And 3 days out of San Diego, they signed the treaty with Japan. And I didn't have enough points to come home, so I got to see Honolulu and Oahu. Then they was assigned for an island place down below the equator, which closed by the time we got to Guam. Mm-hmm. And so we sat there a little while, and I was reassigned then to a LCIL, which would normally carry 150 people, and the boys were gone home, and the skipper had gone back to Chicago discharged. And there, instead of 150 on the thing to man it, there were 30 of us.
Quite a difference.
So we went from there, and we were supposed to have mail and small parts to go to the islands. So we left Guam, went to Okinawa, and then to Japan, Sasebo, Japan, and turned around and headed back home. And I got quite an experience on that trip because I drove the boat there and back to Guam. So you get to learn the stars at night and shoot the North Star and tell where you were. Mm-hmm. And so we got back to Guam, and The officer that we had was from Palo Alto, California, and he and I became friends, and he and the yeoman and I would go to church on Sunday morning, and he had access to a Jeep or weapons carrier up at the air base. And once we got our trunks on at the officer's beach, they couldn't tell us from Admiral, Brigadier General, or what. So then...
You didn't wear any stripes on
you. No, we didn't have any stripes, but we enjoyed the picnic. The cook had fixed us a picnic lunch, and we spent the afternoon. And then finally, he came back from the post office one morning, and he said, "I'm going home, such and such." And I said, "Well, when am I going?" And he said, "I'll check in the morning." It pays to know people along the way, because mm-hmm. I was in the States 6 days before my points had accumulated where I could get out. Oh. So we came back into San Francisco and then across Wyoming and Colorado, Kansas, Missouri. And my whole episode with the Navy was 18 months active, so from August 4th to February 6th. In 46. Mm-hmm. Then we came home. I've teased one of the girls that got married a couple of years ago. When you get married, you ought to start out in a log cabin over 100 years old, which is what we did. It was on the farm my uncle had. He had two farms, actually.
So you and Effie started out in the log cabin?
Yeah, we started out right there, and the first two boys were born while we lived there. But I went to work for Kraft Foods in January of 51, and we made cheese at Hartville at that time, and Springfield opened in 54, but at that time we had cheese plants in Hartville, Mountain Grove, Ava, Mansfield, and Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. What did you do for Kraft?
I started out as a field man begging for milk for the cheese factory, and then I became milk station manager, and our milk at that time went to Mountain Grove, and then later all of it came into Springfield. But the thing that happened, my brother-in-law was managing the plant in Mountain Grove, and we were to come in here and supervision in the new plant. Mm-hmm. And somebody figured out we were related.
Oh.
So that was the end of that story. He came.
That was a no-no?
He managed the Philadelphia cream cheese department until he retired.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that put Ralph at Mountain Grove, plant superintendent, for a couple of months. Then they decided I'd go to California, Missouri, 5 years, manage a milk receiving station. My territory was from Sedalia to Washington, Missouri, both sides of the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then we served that 5 years. Then they sent me to Warsaw for 3 years to manage a milk station down there, right on the lake where you had to buy a boat. The boys were big enough to go skiing.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Now, how did Effie like all this moving
she
around?
She went right along with it. Yeah. And luckily, I was moved all these times with Kraft in the summer months where the boys could cut out their activities and then be ready to start school in the fall. And then once we got to Warsaw, we were there, and they decided I ought to be over in the egg-breaking business. So I was sent to Marshall, Missouri, where they dried eggs, broke eggs, dried egg whites to go to the cake mix and candy people and cookies.
Now, did they have a machine for this egg breaking? How did that
work? Oh, yes. Back many years ago, eggs were broken by hand.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Neosho plant had 120 women breaking eggs by hand. But Seymour Foods in Topeka, Kansas, developed an egg breaking machine that would break and separate the yolk from the white.
Oh.
And so... Then Henningsen Foods developed a machine. I've used both of them. And you broke many cases of eggs. And then you had to buy the eggs, of course. And at the Neosho area back in the 50s, they had contracts with the farmers to produce eggs. And they bought every egg the guy produced. And as the contracts expired, you needed to buy eggs from outside.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I had a broker back in Baltimore, Maryland, that I bought anywhere from 1 to 14 trailer loads. Didn't have them all delivered at once, but mm-hmm. week here, next week, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of eggs in the southeast, Mississippi, and so forth. And you bought eggs for your business there. But I laughed at Mary Kay, my supervisor out at Culpeper. had no idea that I had broken eggs, period. And she's always got her camera around her neck. And we were over at Walmart one day, and she come wheeling out, "I need to take your picture." And I had just passed a display of Miracle Whip down about four aisles. I went down and stood in front of that four or five places while she took my picture. And I still tease her about it because she had no idea I had broken eggs 22 years to break, make Miracle Whip mayonnaise and so forth and the horrible dressings. So anyway,
I bet you got tired of all those eggs after that.
I know, you just try to get enough so they can keep everybody busy.
Right.
But in our plant in Marshall, we had about 65 people that I worked with, and then the plant in Neosho, I had about 40 people that I could supervise. Mm-hmm. And then I got through there. We came here in 84 and bought a place which was actually one of the old Methodist parsonage here in Springfield, and got it all fixed up. And I thought, well, at 62 I should stop and get another job. I didn't want to die right like now. So I got to looking around, and had ads in the paper, but selling vacuum cleaners, which is not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over to job service, and I had been home 15 minutes to Lipscomb Mills calling me, the old downtown, and I was, my job was to stand out on the dock and see how much feed was being loaded out.
Mm-hmm.
And my second son worked for Montgomery GMC at the time, and he said this September, he said, "Daddy, it's going to be awful cold down there on that dock this winter. Why don't you go back?" So anyway, I did go back to job service, and he said, "I don't have a thing. Why don't you go down to AARP? They hire old people."
Oh.
So I went down, and I got started to pull out the application, and I put out my craft pension and my Social Security, and she stopped me. Said, "You make too much money for our program." Said, "We work 20 hours a week, minimum wage. So why don't you go over to the Council of Churches and talk to Mrs. Bradshaw?" So I did. Mm-hmm. I had to ask where it was, which was in Drury College, or mm-hmm. Stone Chapel at that mm-hmm. time. So we got acquainted, and she was busy, and my wife had arthritis, and we went to arthritis clinic at Ardmore Common, and we had a trip planned the next week. And so the next Thursday, we went back, and what the lady at AARP knew that I didn't, the man that was procurement for Ozark's Food Harvest was retiring that day.
Mm-hmm.
So I went back and talked to Rosanna, and she hired me. I worked 10 years begging for food for Ozark's Food Harvest.
Mm-hmm.
And also laid out the diagram of the building that they just moved out of.
Mm-hmm.
And I worked there 10 years, and we joined Ridgecrest Baptist Church back mm-hmm. in 85, and we moved here in 84. And so I was on all four building committees over there and chairman of the last three. Well, anyway, after I they were changing managers at Ozark's Food Harvest. And so I stopped by the house and told my wife, "I need to run out to Ridgecrest just a minute. I'll be right back." And I ran across Scotty Killingsworth coming out the door. As I went in, "How are you?" And I said, "Unemployed, first time for so many years." And so Elsie Blue, the pastor, called me, and I did another 6.5 years building maintenance over there.
My goodness.
And then I finally got retired from all of that. And now that I've been out at Culpeper almost 3 years now,
mm-hmm.
and I do everything in the book out there to help.
Yeah. You break any eggs over at Culpeper?
No. Just what I eat is all. But you get into everything over there, and it's good because of the experience and background I've had. That
mm-hmm.
I, in
mm-hmm.
fact, today, as I walked down the aisle, one of the ladies came out and said, "Ralph, could you move my chair?" She had a lift chair, and the girls, cleaning girls, had put it back too close to the walk where uh-oh. It wouldn't lay down. And then one time when I just got there, walking down the same thing, and she, same lady, came out, "Ralph, can you help me?" And I said, "What do you need?" She said, "Well, I'm out of toilet paper." So I went back to the
room.
You
put your maintenance cap on.
I got a roll of toilet paper for her. And then when I got back, "Can you get that bottle off the shelf?"
My goodness.
And so, but anyway.
You should work for tips.
Ought to, I guess. But no, I enjoy living there. And it's everything. Your bed's made. When you get back from breakfast, you get three meals a day. And
that's great.
And
Ralph, you mentioned some sons. How many children did you have?
We have three boys.
Three boys.
And they're all here in town now.
Mm-hmm.
My oldest boy started out pharmacy school, and he came home on a deal from Kansas City, UMKC, and his prof made him do something over that he had a course from Fayette in organic chemistry, and the guy wouldn't accept it, so he had to go back and redo it. And he said, if you don't mind, I'll get out of there. So he sold sporting goods for years. He had the old State of Iowa for 6.5 years.
Oh.
Now he's over Lowe's North Store in the electrical department off the road.
Mm-hmm.
My second son has sold trucks ever since he got out of school here in Springfield.
He's
back in
the
70.
One that worked at the GMC place?
He used to, and then he's been Peterbilt for the last four or five
mm-hmm.
years. And then the youngest boy has played in bands all over the country, and he is building loudspeakers down in Ozark, Missouri.
Oh.
SLS.
And all very different.
Yes.
All very different jobs.
And then the oldest boy's wife teaches kindergarten through sixth over elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
And my second son's wife is with EVS, a video outfit out on the west end of town. And my youngest boy's wife works for the North Star Battery folks. She'd been with them for years.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest grandson teaches at Southeast Missouri State political science. In fact, he got his bachelor's and master's here, and his prof sent him to KU to get his doctorate.
Uh-huh.
And so while he was up there, he got acquainted and married a little girl that teaches Spanish down there.
Uh-huh.
And she's sharp as a tack because she last week was in Memphis at a meeting doing stuff. She's got another one coming up in Chicago. And then that's my youngest grandson is a senior at Glendale.
Mm-hmm.
He'll graduate this
year. I was
year.
Just going to ask you how many grandchildren
got
you have.
Got three grandchildren. I got one great that's three.
The, oh,
the
my
kids
goodness.
In Cape have the little great.
Uh-huh.
And he's a pistol, so I don't know what's going to happen to him.
Because
his dad's a doctor's degree, his mom and her master's in Spanish. And so what'll happen to him? I have no idea.
You just never know. It sounds like you've had a very busy
Wonderful life.
Did you enjoy living in Springfield?
Yes. Yes. No, we've lived all over the country, and I get along with people pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Most of it.
I can tell that. Well, it's been a pleasure to talk with you today, Ralph.
Well, I'm glad I can talk with you and tell my story.
Thank you very much. This is Ralph Walling, continued.
You know, my aunt taught piano to every kid in the neighborhood around Odin. That's where we lived, over west of Hartville. And in the fall of the year, the girls would either get married or go off to school, and it finally got down to me, and I was supposed to practice and didn't, as you well know. And it finally got down to me one Sunday morning at the old Mount Zion Church. My dad was leading singing, and I played for the first time in front of God and everybody. Right hand only, left hand didn't know what to do. And I'll never forget, played I Gave My Life for Thee in the key of C. Also, since I didn't practice when I was at home, got to high school at Hartville, and wasn't long till I was playing piano for Girls' Glee Club and chorus, and we had a teacher come in.
Were you using your left hand by then?
I was using all of it by then. And then we had a teacher came in, and he had played in a band in Branson every night, and then had to meet a 7:30 class over here to MSU.
Ooh.
And so he was then as a rail when he got ready to teach down there, and he walked in. I want to build my department around a boys' quartet. And I was one of the lucky ones. Two of the guys were preachers, one a Baptist and one was a Presbyterian. And we had a tenor that could hit an A above middle C as clear as a bell.
Mm.
And one of the funny things about that one, when we came to Springfield, you used to not have to go to the district. Everybody came to Springfield, or if in the ag department, you went to Columbia every year.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, we got ready to come up here to the contest, and the boys' quartet number that year was Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes, and we had practiced by the hour, and every one of us hated it with a passion.
Oh, no. Now, say, what was the title again?
Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes.
Drink to Me Only with Thine Eyes.
And so we had sung for our supper time after time after time at Hartville. Mm-hmm. And we loved Barbershop, and Mandy Lee was our favorite. And so we got up here, and about 15 minutes before we went on stage, we conned the music teacher and then let us do Mandy Lee.
Oh.
So we went out on stage. We did a couple of courses of that. Came off of the one.
Oh, good for you.
So,
it's a good thing you talked him into that. How did you talk him into it?
Well, we were just good salesmen.
Said we're going to do it, huh?
And then during all the high school, we sang at funerals and funerals and funerals and overnight for programs and stuff. And mm-hmm. But we got paid. This is in the 30s, about 38, 1938. Mr. Steele over at Hartville, who settled there years and years ago, and the home is still on the bluff over there, passed away, and we sang at his funeral. Mm-hmm. And they gave us $2 apiece. This is in the 30s.
Wow.
So.
Well, that seems like a pretty good price for
good,
the 30s.
It was good pay. You could go get a Coke for a nickel at the drugstore.
Yeah.
And there in Hartville, they had another little deal. The small Coke class, they'd put one dip of vanilla ice cream,
mm-hmm.
and then you get every flavor that you wanted. And they called it a 400. But
a 400? Why did they call it that?
Don't ask me.
Huh.
But anyway, that you could buy that thing for a nickel.
Mm.
And so, and then Cokes were a nickel in those days. And you could take your girlfriend to the show and hamburger afterward. For a dollar.
Wow.
Believe it or not.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Those days are gone.
Those days are gone. In fact, ice cream was hard to come by in those days. And we'd go down to one there in Mansfield after the show at Mansfield. And there was a lady there that would. We loved to tease her, but we'd come in and we'd get our hamburger. I'd like to have some ice cream. We don't have any ice cream, but we've got awful good sherbet. So, anyway.
Sometimes you have to settle for sherbet.
You have to settle for that. No, I've had a good life, and so. The church over there that my great-granddad started is still going. It'll be 160 years this year.
Mm-hmm.
And, in fact, one of the things I did along the way was. REA came, we had a 32-volt light plant at home. My uncle remodeled the house about 1927-29. We had a Delco system.
Mm-hmm.
And electricity's always fascinated me. So when REA came by in September 41 from Lebanon, we had a couple of electricians go over the wiring.
Mm-hmm. Now, is that Rural Electric?
Rural Electric, okay. REA, Rural mm-hmm. Electric Administration.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I watched them very carefully go over ours. They finally split up. One of the boys went to the co-op at Bolivar and the other one Fort Wood. And I wired with one of them quite a bit, houses and stores and churches and stuff. And after they split up, well, I was on my own. I wired several homes. In fact, this old church down there. And the fun part, when we celebrated 150 years, I was sitting by one of the deacons. It was a two-day affair. Eating supper, and I said, they had just replaced the light fixtures. I said, Keith, those look real good. He said, yes, I like those. He said, before I put them up, said I went up in the attic and looked at the wiring.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, that's one of the neatest jobs. I said, thank you. I had done that back about 85, I guess, something
uh-huh.
like that.
Wow.
So, anyway, you get a compliment once in a while.
Feels pretty good, doesn't it? Thank you very much, Ralph, for being with us today. We sure appreciate it.
Well, glad to do it. Tell them a story.
Recorded as part of the Springfield Greene County Library District's 2010 Big Read. For more information, contact the library at 417-883-5366 or visit us on the web at thelibrary.org.